Welcome to the Fierce Marriage Podcast, where we believe that marriage takes a fierce tenacity that never gives up and refuses to give in.
Here we'll share openly and honestly about all things marriage,
sex,
communication,
finances,
priorities,
purpose,
and everything in between.
Laugh, ponder, and join in on candid, gospel-centered conversations. This is Fierce Marriage. Welcome to the Fierce Marriage Podcast.
Hey, everyone. Yes, welcome.
We're excited to be here.
You were right on that.
I was. You almost
I was
messed
behind
it up.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Selena.
And we are the authors and voices of Fierce Marriage. Thank you so much for listening. It means a lot. And we hope that you find today's episode, elucidating? Is that the right word?
I guess.
It sounds like a word that Brian would use. He's a very smart friend of ours. I want to say illuminating. Anyway, we are going to be talking about, the title that we are mulling around, I think we're going to stick with, is, Five Anchors for a Fulfilling Sex Life?
Yep.
And the reason we want to talk about that is because we are in the current state of things, as we're recording this, there have been all sorts of allegations, convictions, firings, outings, and oustings of people accused, men primarily, accused of sexual misconduct. Mm-hmm. And it's a topic that is unavoidable these
right.
days. And what it's really done for me, and I think the reason I brought this to Selena to try and talk about, is I just feel like it has just reminded me how confused we are as a culture of this over the idea of sex.
Mm-hmm.
Which we see it play out in actions, but even more than that's why we see all the sexual misconduct stuff that is happening right now, but in our beliefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Down to our cores, I feel like as a culture, I say like a Western culture,
mm-hmm.
we don't understand God's primary purposes for sex or his design for sex. Or if we
it's become unclear.
Yeah.
And it's become very,
very
muddied. And
right.
You and I personally want to kind of feel this burden and conviction to respond.
And bring some clarity to an area that
shed some light.
Yeah. That is very, it doesn't feel unclear to me. I'm just going to be honest.
Right.
Because obviously we're marriage writers.
Right.
We spent a lot of time thinking about these things. So, but you know what? It did take some work to get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
To a place of clarity.
It even took one podcast that got messed up.
Yeah.
So this is our round two.
That's actually, yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. So we usually record these things like 3 weeks out.
Yeah.
And we recorded this particular episode
the night before.
Like it was like 5 days out.
We
and
did.
And then I was editing it and realized that half of it was just garbage. Like,
well, there
the
was
audio
ticking
quality.
Sounds
yeah,
and
something
weird
happened.
Things.
Anyway, so hopefully it'll be better this time around. Yeah, so we're going to dive into that topic in a second. But first, Selena, let's do our heart check. And what this is, if you're new to our podcast, is we like to quickly, I'm trying to be quick about it this time, is we just basically ask three questions of each other. What book is in your hand? What voice is in your ear? And what is stirring in your heart? In other words, what is God doing in your heart?
Mm-hmm.
And Selena, you go.
John Piper, the book, sorry. What book is in my hand is John Piper's Don't Waste Your Life.
Intense.
Just started it. I'm typically into lots of parenting books and, you know, just some fiction, some old literature. But just wanted to dive into this one. Somebody recommended it and I said, okay.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that book. It'll wreck you.
Yep. That's good though. Jesus loves me and I'm secure in him. So one step at a time. What voices in my ear today? I listened to Pastor Steve Hart. He's a pastor in Spokane. He came and spoke at our church at Gospel Life Church, where we attend in Puyallup, Washington, which you have no idea
whoop,
where
whoop.
That's at. They're part of the He's part of the Acts 29 network, and just talking about Jesus being thrust into his ministry out of some pretty. Just from his baptism and what God told him there and how that affirmed him and how that translates to us because of Jesus. It was just great. I mean, I listened to it. That was my second time and I keep getting just overwhelmed and stirred.
So give us a one sentence summary.
I can't. It's so good. So good. We can put the link in the show notes, I guess.
Okay.
And what's stirring in my heart, I know we don't like to date these things, but it is almost Christmas. We've been doing Advent as a family for kind of the first time. We've really given it a big push this year. And I'm really excited about how it's extended the holiday season and the Christmas season. It's really been engaging our little girls,
right,
who are 4 and 1.5, about the arrival of Jesus and what it means to wait, and how we're sustained by Jesus, even in that waiting process.
It's creating a lot of really, really cool conversations.
Yeah.
With our four-year-old.
Yeah.
And she's starting to realize that Christmas is more than just lights.
Me and getting presents.
And presents. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really great. God's doing a lot, I feel like, in her little heart and in ours.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. So my turn. What book is in my hand? Is it my turn?
I guess.
Were you done?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to not be too meander too long, or at least dilly-dally here.
Now we're meandering.
Here we are. Okay, so I just started a new book today, or maybe yesterday, Preaching by Tim Keller. I'm not a preacher, but I really admire Tim Keller. He's an awesome author, and he's a great preacher, obviously. And he has had a lot of influence on my life, and I just want to make sure that if I'm given the opportunity, he actually talks about how preaching is not just someone, a pastor in front of a church, but how there's actually like three basic levels that every believer preaches. And it's interpersonal communication, small group studies, and pastoring and delivering a sermon, I should say. And so, that's been really good so far. I'm just in the intro. Even his intro is meaty. So
he's a meaty kind of guy.
Yeah, I like to process and underline a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so what is in my...
Voices in my ear.
I thought that said, what voices in your car?
Kind of the same.
Siri is in my car.
Siri is in my car.
Cyrus.
Stop. Meandering.
I've been listening to the Knowing Faith podcast by the Village Church. Very good, just kind of theological conversations around modern day issues. So that's very good. If you like that sort of thing, you'll enjoy that podcast. And what is stirring in my heart? I think I'm just anticipation, right? So Advent is a huge anticipation, just, but if I'm honest, it's actually more of me anticipating, like, what am I going to do with the new year? And so I'm trying to use that kind of heart inclination to, like, what can I do, you know, and put my hands to, and use that as a reminder to remember Christ.
Right.
As I'm anticipating that, anticipate him more.
It's a lot of anticipation.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. So as we said earlier, we're going to be diving into this and trying to add some clarity around just the idea of sex in general. And we want to just, I think, provide five principles or five anchors is what I think that's a better term. Selena, good job on that.
We're still working on it.
Five anchors for a, like, basically God-designed sex life.
Right. And it comes with a few caveats.
Yes.
That we want to kind of bring to light.
Yeah. So anytime you talk about this topic, it's a sensitive topic, right?
Right. And we're not going to cover it all in 20, 30 minutes.
Well, because of the, exactly.
Because of how sensitive it is and nuanced it is.
So, yeah, please, you know, take this with a grain of salt. We can't possibly address every nuance of this conversation via this podcast.
Right.
There are entire volumes of books written on, you know, this topic. And they probably do a better job than we could in, you know, for sure in 40 minutes. And also because of the confusion around this topic, there's a lot of pain around sex.
Right.
Wives and husbands alike both feel pain in this
and
area.
And shame.
And so, if we're discussing something and you feel like we've been insensitive towards you, hopefully we won't do that. But if you feel that way, please just give us some grace. If we knew you and your situation, we could speak more sensitively to it, right?
We're not out to hurt people or be malicious. Right. We're really just trying to communicate with clarity God's word. And we just pray over these podcasts that the Holy Spirit would go, this wouldn't just be a podcast, but that it would be the Holy Spirit being able to work through. In us and through us and translate into your hearts what God would have, and the truth of his word.
Yep. And our,
to your situation.
Very well said. Yeah. I think our goal is to just get out of the way and to communicate what God's word says as clearly as we can, can draw lines between God's word and culture so that we can apply the gospel in tangible ways. And our hope is by doing that, it will inspire wonder in you. It'll inspire repentance in areas that where that's needed. Mm-hmm. I know that as I study God's word, I'm oftentimes turned to repentance when I encounter the very words of God.
Right.
And then I think out of that, we want to eventually inspire obedience, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the first one, Sil?
So Genesis 2:24 is where we want to start. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed.
Powerful stuff.
Very powerful stuff.
There's a lot
stuff
happening there.
Right.
I think for the sake of this conversation, there's two big things that we're pulling out of it, and that's they were combined as one flesh. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, and so that's the first wedding, right? And when that happened, there was a consummation of that wedding, of mm-hmm. that covenant that God had blessed them.
Mm-hmm.
And as they were consummating and they were naked, they were unashamed.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this is the picture of creation before the fall, right? Mm-hmm. So this is right at the end of Genesis 2. And as soon as you read Genesis
literally
3.
Literally at the end, 2:24 and 25.
Yeah. And as soon as you get to the next chapter, it's called the fall.
Yep. Right after those words.
So this idea of being naked and unashamed is foreign to us. We can't understand it outside of looking at this picture that is presented to us and mm-hmm. this reality that's presented to us in Genesis 2.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to recognize that any shame that we feel around this area is because of a distorted view of God's original plan for sex that has been contaminated by sex. Or, excuse me. It's been contaminated by sin.
By sin.
It's a sex on the brain. Sorry. anyway, and so that's a very important realization we have to have is that, you know, any attempt we have that we make at trying to have an ideal sex life is going to be tainted by sin.
Right.
Okay. So the first anchor
that said,
yeah,
sex for the first anchor, you know, we were talking about, sex is more than just physical. And so,
absolutely.
You know, looking at these verses, they became one flesh and they were both naked, not ashamed. So they became one flesh. It's not just physical. It's not just to meet a physical need. It's not just,
yeah,
and let's do this.
The one flesh is spiritual language,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a covenantal bond. They are no longer, the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also there's a very physical thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's the consummation. That's why sex is unique to marriage. We'll talk about that a little bit later. The exclusivity of sex. That's another anchor.
Right. And this one,
but
the first one really, I feel like, is a foundation for a lot of things because it's touching on, you know, because it's more than physical, then it's not just a selfish thing. It's not just one-sided.
Right.
So anyways, we'll dive.
So you asked this language when we were discussing this.
Right.
Is that why even say they were naked and unashamed?
Right. Like, why wasn't God like...
They were naked and happy.
They were naked. Or they were just naked.
And having a great time. Why not say that, right?
Right, right.
Because there's something else to be accounted for.
Yeah, there's something to be illustrated.
Your emotional state, right? Mm-hmm. Your spiritual state. It's not just you're naked. It's you're naked and something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're getting at what does that unashamed look like and how can we as Christian married couples live unashamed because of what Christ has done and what he's called us to and God's design for covenantal marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, one last thing about this first anchor is that this takes place in Genesis 1 and 2 when God creates everything, right? And he's creating everything, heaven and earth, you know, the oceans, the skies, all the beasts mm-hmm. of the field, all the mm-hmm. birds in the air. He created man and woman different,
mm-hmm.
right? He endowed us with his image. Adam and Eve and us, we are image bearers of God. And what that means is we are his representatives, his vice regents, right? Mm-hmm. His royal stewards over this planet that he's given us dominion over. And he says, go forth, fill the earth and subdue it. And so when we talk about sex being more than just physical, which again is our first anchor, sex is an intimate thing that happens physically. Yes, it happens spiritually. Yes. But even more than that, it points us to the gospel because in the intimacy that we experience in sex, we are actually, and I've heard smarter people than I say this, we are actually reflecting the oneness and the intimacy experienced by God in the Trinity between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But when we reflect that intimacy and we do it in a God-honoring way, it can actually point us to a picture of complete intimacy and even give us hope in what can be had in the future when we're made one or in that final wedding that Revelation talks about, right?
Right.
So again, I'm glossing over a lot of big theological ideas here, and so please just take it with a grain of salt. With that said, that's kind of our foundational anchor, and what that is that sex is so much more than just physical.
Right.
So what's the second one there?
The second one, which leads nicely into that, is it is selfless. By God's design, there's more purpose than just fulfilling me or
right.
fulfilling you.
So anchor two for God-designed right. sex would be that it is selfless, mm-hmm. right? And what you said, and I heard you, and I appreciate you saying that, is it's not entirely selfless. I think that's okay, because one of our anchors what will come up is that sex is made to enjoy.
Right.
Right? Well, you enjoy something because you enjoy it.
Right.
And even when you are being selfless, you get joy out of being, allowing your partner, your husband, your wife to enjoy themselves. Right.
Right.
So,
and in Song of Solomon is kind of where we felt like this selflessness was made clear. There's a couple of verses in there, of course, but I'm sure you've all heard like, I am my beloved's and his desire is for me, or I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine.
You forgot the last part. He grazes among
the lilies. He grazes among the lilies. Sorry.
I love grazing among lilies.
Oh my.
Huge turn on for me.
Yep. Okay.
I think by nature, like desires is not a completely selfless thing.
Right.
By my beloved's and my beloved is mine. His desire is for me.
Right.
But I think the Christian expression of that is selfless in many regards. Right. Right.
Well, and if we go back to what we've been seeing in our culture and society, a lot of these acts are selfish. They're
right. And how can
rooted
you gratify
in selfishness.
My
yeah.
desire?
Yes.
As opposed to how is my desire for you
and your heart
focused on
and your
you
soul
and
how
me.
Can I, yeah, how can I right. care for you? How can I show you that I love you and not just take what I want from you and,
right.
you know?
So how does that practically play out in a marriage? So, like, I'm just thinking in terms of our own sex life.
Right.
Practically, how are we selfless toward each other? We'll talk about this a little bit later. All these anchors sort of overlap.
They overlap and lead to each other.
Right.
I feel like it's kind
but
of a
one way is
thing.
I, you know, by being generous with you when it comes to our sex lives, and you being generous with me.
Right. Right.
And that looks different for each of us.
Right.
My generosity towards you isn't more sex necessarily. I'm just doing you a favor. But you get what I'm saying.
Like, it's being considerate and thinking about the other person, and also knowing that me being generous is also selfless, but giving to you, and it fulfills you. And in
right.
turn, that just multiplies, you know,
right.
more.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering, you know, how can you be generous? We'll get into another point that will
get kind of the nitty gritty,
yeah.
like tangible.
Yeah.
So our first anchor was more than just physical. It is more than sex is more than just a physical act. Our second anchor is that sex is
primarily selfless. And the third one, I'm going to jump in.
Okay.
Because I don't think anybody's saying this, and I feel very passionate about this.
Is
that sex is exclusively for marriage.
Right.
And, gosh, I don't know. I feel like you say that to young people these days, that, hey, don't have sex outside of marriage. And they're like, they look at you like you're wearing.
What?
Like a, yeah. They look like you like, yeah. And they look at you like you're crazy.
Yes.
And no one is saying that, but we have to understand and wrap our heads around the fact that God did not design sex for the exclusivity of marriage to hold out on us.
Right.
He designed it for marriage for our flourishing and for our ultimate joy.
Right.
Our ultimate enjoyment.
There's
it.
A deep enjoyment. There's different levels I feel like that we can experience in terms of enjoying another person and pleasure that can only come from the marriage covenant.
Right.
That can only come from years of being with each other. There's no
right.
real substitute for that, if I can be so bold to say that.
Right. Right. And I know we're talking to married couples primarily here. It really illustrates the power of the marriage covenant
right.
to sustain and build an incredible sex life.
Right.
And that if you're in a marriage right now, and you don't feel like your sex life is everything that it could and or should be, rest assured that you are in the right place to have an incredible sex life.
Right.
The only difference between, you know, what the sex life that you're envisioning and the sex life that you might be experiencing is, I think, communication and just growth and mm-hmm. intimacy on different levels between you and your spouse. But the covenant of marriage is the only arena that can sustain and can actually contain the power mm-hmm. of God-designed sex.
Right.
So the first anchor is that sex is more, it's more than just pleasure. The second
one
is
that...
It's more than just physical. Sorry. Yep. The second one is that sex is selfless,
right?
Primarily. The third one is that sex is exclusively for marriage, and in that, it is
the most most enjoyable, the most fulfilling, the most
sexy,
pleasurable. place.
Pleasurable.
Stop. I knew you were going to say that.
You know me. Which is the fourth one.
Right, right.
The fourth anchor is that sex is actually for your enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important to remember because, you know, we talk about, like, everything we've talked about to this point is kind of about, it's about containing right. and creating boundaries around a rampant kind of, like, freewheeling idea of sex.
Right.
And that can sometimes lead us down the wrong path of Platonism or, like, a Platonic sort of view of sex.
Right.
Which is not biblical. And what I mean by Platonic is that you can almost start to think that sex isn't in itself. It's bad. It's ugly. It's dirty. And you shouldn't want it. You shouldn't express right. yourself in it. And that is not God's view of sex. Just read Song of Solomon.
Right.
Right? And just...
Again, it's more than just physical.
Yeah. Right.
Really.
But it is also for physical pleasure.
Yeah.
And it is also... And you are to delight in each other. And that is okay. And that's what marriage is. That's why marriage right. can contain it.
Right. And it also goes a step further of in terms of enjoyment and pleasure. I feel like there's some security and there's some assurance in knowing that what you and I share is there the next day. I'm not worried about you sharing it with someone else. Like,
right.
You're not worried that I'm going to share myself in that way with someone else because there's just so much brokenness around that. I think people can attest to that.
Yeah. And we can be fully intimate and fully bare.
Naked,
and
emotionally
unashamed
right.
and unreserved
right.
Because I know that you are my beloved,
mm-hmm.
my beloved is mine,
mm-hmm.
like that we are each other's.
Right.
That's an exclusive.
That's the covenant. That is
ownership.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's where pleasure is a huge part of it.
Right.
And it is a pleasure on every level.
Right.
And under God's design, it's a physical pleasure. It's an emotional pleasure, but also a spiritual one
right.
where you are feeling, it's just right. You're feeling the rightness of a God designed thing.
Right.
Yeah. Untainted by sin, fit into God's design.
Right.
Okay. So the last one, the last anchor is that sex is designed for edification
and
purity.
Yeah.
So
because we get, again, if it's not just physical and we're getting into, we get a lot of questions from people about what's okay and what's not okay in the
right.
bedroom and why is it okay. And you were talking about I think we think our culture and society has just had a distorted view about sex and what is okay. And
yeah, and the way that plays out for, you know, in some of the readers that come to us with questions, we'll basically want to know where's the line.
Right.
Like where, okay, so sex is God designed sex. So how far can I
right.
go?
Which first of all,
when you were leading Young Life, you would get that question
right.
of like, okay, well we can't have sex. So how far can we go?
Right.
That's for people, this is for kids that aren't married.
Right.
You know, like teenagers, I should say that
yes.
aren't married.
Yeah.
But people even within sex, they want to know like, so I get messages from husbands who are saying, I want my wife to do this thing
mm-hmm.
and she doesn't want to do it. What, like, basically want to know, like, what biblical, like, foundation can I use to
well,
to have her do
well,
what I want her to do?
And it sounds like they're feeling like the wife doesn't love him if she doesn't do this.
Right. And that's a distortion.
Right.
That is a distortion of a good thing.
Right.
It's taken sex and turned it into a way to basically
fulfill,
get the satisfaction
yes.
that you want as opposed to
right.
expressing intimacy.
Right.
So the way that we usually approach this with,
mm-hmm.
with people who ask that question is we will usually start with this idea of edification
mm-hmm.
and purity.
Right.
Right.
Edification
being, is it edifying to you? So
right.
never do anything that's painful,
right.
shameful,
right.
degrading, or unwanted.
And there's communication. You can talk while
yeah.
you're in.
Yeah.
If for some reason some people think you can't talk, I think that.
We've had those conversations.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, there are, you know, read your Bible. All right. Right. What does the Bible say about sexual acts in specific? Right. And the bottom line is there are probably, like, I'm just pulling this out of my ear, but two or three that are like defined in the Bible. And some you're gonna have a hard time really kind of wrapping your arms around it. So you have to go back to the intent of sex, and that is to edify in a pure manner and to glorify God ultimately.
Right. So we get a lot of messages from readers and listeners about boundaries, about what's okay, what's not okay. How do you define that? How do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line? It's not about where's the line. It's about where's my spouse feeling loved, and if my husband, or most instances, I think it's the wife who may not want to do something.
Yeah, well, you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
You'd be very surprised. True. But I think what you're getting at is that the question, it needs to move from how can I get them to do the thing I want them to do,
the selfishness,
to how can I, like, basically love them instead of loving myself.
Right.
And that's the essence of intimacy, right? You're loving someone in lieu of loving yourself. Like, you're loving someone as yourself, I should say.
Right.
And so when the question is one of how can I just get them to do the sexual act that I want him or her to do, that's the wrong question.
Right.
And so that, to me, and I think, you know, scripturally, that flies in the face of edification and purity.
Right.
As soon as sex becomes a tool for you to be selfish and to use someone for your own gratification, that has deviated from God's idea of purity.
Right. His original design for sex.
One thing I do want to say on that final anchor about edification and purity is that it's never okay to bring pornography into the marriage bed.
Right.
And we've had a lot of couples ask us, and, you know, it's okay to ask. I think if you have the question, ask it. You don't want to have any shame around these questions themselves. You only find out if you ask. Right. The important thing is you are getting answers from God's word.
Right.
And so we've had a lot of people ask, can we, you know, we only feel aroused if we watch pornography together. We would say that area needs to be redeemed, and pornography is never okay in the marriage bed. It's not okay ever, but it's never bring anyone in to your marriage covenant, into your intimacy, into your sex life.
Right.
No third parties, either, you know, through a screen or some other means.
Right.
It's exclusive.
Right. Absolutely.
It's exclusive between the two of you.
Right. So just to recap the five anchors that we talked about, the first one is that sex is more than just physical. The second one is that it is selfless, primarily selfless. The third one is it's exclusive to the marriage covenant. The fourth one is sex is for our enjoyment and pleasure. And the fifth one is that sex, has levels of edification and purity that God put in place for us to be able to enjoy it.
Well, and it is for edification and
for our edification
through purity.
Yeah,
that's good. Hopefully that was helpful. Again, this is a very, I think, charged topic.
Mm-hmm.
So please grace.
Right. And I feel like we could have many responses to this. This is kind of our first.
We talked about sex one other time.
We did. And I just feel like there's a lot to respond and a lot to say.
There's a lot of different areas, rabbit holes we could follow on this topic.
It was hard to nail down these five, I feel like.
Yeah, it is. And so if you do have any questions, you know, we've got more to say on this topic for sure.
Right.
If you have questions, please submit those.
Right.
If you don't ask, we can't answer. And so the way to do that is to go to fiercemarriage.com/podcast. And there's a button there somewhere down toward the bottom where you can submit a question. You can submit a story or you can find the phone number to call in and ask a question, or you can even text in a question. And that number is, if you're in your car, it's 971-333-1120, 971-333-1120. All right. Coming up, I got a rapid fire question for you. We're going to call these something else. Fierce facts.
Fierce facts. Cause they're not rapid. Thanks to one of our readers or our listeners.
Yeah. We had a listener recommend fierce facts, I think.
Which is very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that recommendation. And that is coming right up. I have a good question for you. So hold on tight. All right, Selena, are you ready for my question? Okay. If you had 1 minute during a Super Bowl halftime to do anything you wanted and everybody was watching you, what would you do? Anything in the whole world?
You know, I'd probably have to tell about Jesus, because unless I have some sort of talent of singing or some like dance moves, I mean, what kind of fantasy is this? But even then, Jesus is the best message I could ever share with people.
Yeah. So go ahead and give us that. You're like, what?
I just did. Were you not listening to some of the anchors I was talking about? My goodness.
You know what? I love you.
Just wait till next week. You and you're going to get a fierce fact question.
I love you, and I knew you were going to say that.
I know.
Even before
I knew that.
Even before we had the bad recording last week, I knew you were going to say that.
Oh,
I should have come up with a new one.
That's funny.
Okay, so we have a letter. So I mentioned earlier, you can submit questions through our website or through the phone number, but you can also submit a letter for your spouse. It'll email them.
Right.
But it'll also email us, and if you want, we'll read it on the show.
Right.
And
you have to check a little box and give us permission.
Yeah, we won't read it unless you say it's okay.
Right.
And there's a lot of these that come through, so we don't read them in general unless you want us to.
Yes.
So what's that?
This letter is from Jessica to Toby. She says, I just wanted to tell you that I love you. I'm proud of your faithfulness to us as a family, your dedication to your work, and your sense of humor. We've been through a lot, and I still look forward to growing old with you. Heart.
Heart emoji.
Heart emoji.
That's
super
awesome.
Sweet. Yeah. It's so refreshing to hear wives that are proud of their husband's yeah. faithfulness and dedication to their work. And
yeah,
of course.
Toby, way to go. If you're listening to this, Jessica, if you're listening and Toby's not, get him to listen to this.
Yes.
Cause good job, man.
It's awesome.
I always love hearing about husbands that are, that their wives are just proud of them because,
guys like to hear that.
Yeah.
Hubbies like to hear that.
Yeah.
You like to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always unique to the couple.
It is.
And it always means something far more significant than we could pick up on.
Mm-hmm.
But it is clear. So I think that's a show. I want to remind you, if you're listening to this and you're enjoying it, please, please take a little bit of time, probably like 15, 20 seconds to rate us on iTunes or whatever your podcast app is. And if you feel extra inspired, leave a sentence or two of feedback through what are those called? Reviews. Yeah.
Reviews.
So if you think of it, leave a review there. What that does is that helps people who are kind of on the fence about listening.
Mm-hmm.
It just reassures them that this will be worth their time. And we hope to keep getting better every week. So if you didn't like it, we're sorry.
Come back in a few months.
Well, don't wait 2 months or a few months. Come back in like maybe 2 weeks.
Okay.
And we'll try to be better by then.
No, God is constantly refining us.
He is.
We always pray. This is more than a podcast, but it's a tool that he's using.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of prayer, I think I'm going to pray.
It's not us. It's you. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
If you want to break up, just for the record, it's not us. It's you.
Oh, that's
you're
good.
You're the spicy one.
I'm spicy tonight. Yes.
All right, I'm going to pray over us and these people listening, over you, our listeners. God, you're incredible. Your grace is so thick over our lives. And I think there are millions of ways that we'll never realize this side of heaven, mm-hmm. of your goodness and your sovereignty. So I just pray, Lord, that you would each day just open our hearts to what you're doing in our lives and in the lives of those around us. I pray for these listeners that you would strengthen their marriage. God, that your will would be done in their marriage, in their lives, in their community, here on earth as it is in heaven. So today, I pray that you'd be our portion today,
mm-hmm.
and that we would find all we need and then some in you. I pray for the wife who is listening, who needs an extra dose of hope, an extra dose of joy. I pray that you would give that to her in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
I pray for the husband who's listening, who needs confidence, who needs direction. I pray that you would give that to him in abundance. Lord, all for your glory. I pray that you would steer us away from wrong thinking, steer us away from lies that are not rooted in you,
mm-hmm.
God, and deliver us from evil. God, yours is all the glory and all the honor. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right.
All right, guys. That's a wrap.
In the can.
I think next week we will be talking about...
Family vision.
No, we already talked...
That's what's in my notes.
That was literally like the week before this.
You guys, I'm losing my mind here. I don't even know.
No, no, no. I think next week we should do an Ask Me Anything deal.
Yeah.
I'm just going to basically go through and find a bunch of questions, and we're going to try to do
Well, we need our listeners to write us questions.
Yeah, and this is in real time.
Yeah.
So you will be
listening to this.
Yeah, so go to fiercemarriage.com/podcast. Leave us a question there. Call in. Text it in. Again, that phone number is 971-333-1120. And please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. Okay, that's enough.
Bye.
Okay, bye. We'll see you in about 7 days. Take care.